This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
America's weather extremes. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, August 23rd. Thank you for being with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
While Tennessee and parts of the Northeast cope with flooding from too much rain, there's an alarming shortage of water across parts of the West.
The Pentagon has ordered U.S. airlines to help with the evacuations in Afghanistan.
Pediatric hospitalizations from COVID-19 are at the highest point since last year.
And on the travel front, hotels taking a page from the airlines, charging fees for things like using the pool or early check-in.
So they figure if airlines can do this and make some money from it, hotels should be able to do it too. And as long as they can convince guests that they're getting a reduced room rate, they think guests will give it a shot.
Craig Carman at the Wall Street Journal on hotels experimenting with fees. An almost unimaginable amount of rain in the middle part of Tennessee has caused death and destruction. At least 22 people have been killed, with more missing after record-shattering downpours triggered flooding. Greg Collier, public information officer for the Humphreys County Emergency Management Agency, said hundreds of homes may be uninhabitable. The flooding took out roads, cell phone towers, and telephone lines. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee.
It was dramatic to hear the stories of how fast this happened in the community, which is part of the reason that so many people lost their lives, and there are still so many missing.
In McEwen, Tennessee, 60 miles west of Nashville, a state record 17 inches of rain fell in less than 24 hours. Meanwhile, stories of survival emerged yesterday. Cindy and Jimmy Dunn told USA Today that they fled to their attic Saturday after water rose 6 feet high in their home in Waverly. They were rescued several hours later when a crew driving a bulldozer raised a bucket to their window. After making landfall in Rhode Island, Henri weakened as it moved slowly along the eastern U.S. Tens of thousands of homes and businesses lost power in Rhode Island, Connecticut, and Massachusetts. Heavy rains that could cause flash flooding are still expected in parts of the Northeast. The National Hurricane Center downgraded the storm twice yesterday. As of last night, Henri was considered a tropical depression. Henri hit the coast of Rhode Island near Westerly at about lunchtime yesterday with sustained winds of 60 miles an hour. Conditions in Westerly had calmed by mid-afternoon. In Narragansett, this resident pulled out a deck of cards with family.
So we're going to have a good game of Hilo Jack with the lanterns and the flashlights, and hopefully the power will come out in the middle of the game.
By around noon yesterday, about 75,000 homes and businesses had lost power in Rhode Island, with nearly 20,000 in Connecticut and 6,800 in Massachusetts also hit by power outages. President Biden now says he may need the August 31st deadline to go beyond that to withdraw troops from Afghanistan. In addition, his remarks came yesterday as U.S. airlines were positioning aircraft to comply with a new Pentagon order that compelled them to contribute 18 planes to help with the evacuation. The government has the power to do that under a rarely used law.
There's discussions going on among us and the military about extending. Our hope is we will not have to extend, but there are going to be discussions, I suspect, on how far along we are in the process.
Officials said the commercial aircraft would not fly in and out of Kabul, the Afghan capital, but would ferry evacuees to the U.S. from bases in Germany, Qatar, and Bahrain to ease transport bottlenecks. The first flights carrying evacuees were expected today. Meanwhile, a firefight broke out between unidentified gunmen, Western security forces, and Afghan guards at Kabul airport earlier today. The German military said one Afghan guard was killed and three were wounded. Coming up next, in some areas, it's hard to get tested again for COVID.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you, and to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. Florida has become the third state in the U.S. to reach 3 million cases of COVID-19, although cases in the state fell slightly last week. However, deaths were rising. There were 1,486 deaths over a one-week period last week, nearly 15% above the previous record in January. Northeast Florida is bearing the brunt of the state's COVID surge. Meanwhile, when COVID cases and hospitalizations plummeted back in late spring, many large government-run testing sites, you'll recall, switched to vaccinations or shut down. That was before the highly contagious Delta variant emerged. Now Americans are getting checked for COVID at a brisk pace again, but some experts say it's harder to find testing appointments. It's a story by Ken Alltucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today. Ken, what are we seeing?
What we see now is we're hearing periodic reports from consumers, and certainly in hot spots like South Florida, where people are having a little bit of difficulty accessing timely tests for COVID. And this is quite a change from this spring when we saw cases begin to decline. Certainly hospitalizations were down and everybody was pretty optimistic about the vaccine numbers trending up. But as it turns out, this emergence of the Delta variant has obviously spawned a new surge, a new round of cases. And what we're seeing is more people need to be tested.
Boy, it's like more than a million tests each day. Is that what you found?
That's what John Hopkins University, which tracks these numbers daily, has right now. And keep in mind, we're still, far below what we saw in the winter surge, which was 2 million or more a day in some days. But one of the big differences there is we were really geared toward testing. And you might have seen in a lot of cities where they repurposed stadiums, like Dodger Stadium, for instance, became a big testing center. State Farm in Phoenix, where the Arizona Cardinals play, was turned into a big testing center. Well, public health departments in a lot of cases have limited resources. And when the vaccine came out, a lot of those centers converted to vaccination centers, yeah. Where, people would drive up, get a quick shot and leave after being observed for a few minutes.
So are there calls now to reestablish those big testing centers again?
I'm not sure if that's going to happen as much as, public health departments are certainly looking at reopening some smaller centers. We see that in the Palm Beach area right now, where just this week a couple of centers that were shuttered have now reopened. And they're certainly dealing with it there where the virus is pretty widespread and infecting a lot of people. So I think it's a case-by-case basis, but certainly some public health officials acknowledge more testing and timely testing is needed.
We're speaking with Ken Alltucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today, about his story entitled, As the Delta Variant Rages Across the U.S., It's Getting Harder to Find COVID-19 Tests. We've got, obviously, schools, students being required in many cases, teachers being required in many cases to get vaccinated or show proof of a test of some kind. This impacts travel, right? Entertainment venues. Is that a reason we've seen the uptick in these tests?
Yeah, that's certainly a spurring demand where we have, as you mentioned, some employers are beginning to, public employers mainly, but some private sector employers as well, are beginning to require vaccination, and in lieu of vaccination, requiring testing, could be as frequent as weekly to prove that they are virus free. So we're seeing some demand from that. Certainly, the Los Angeles Public Schools had an entry screening for its students. So that's thousands of tests right there. And another thing, the CDC, of course, previously advised that if you're vaccinated, you really didn't need to get tested. But what they said with the Delta variant, a little bit revised guideline in that if you're vaccinated and you are exposed to someone with a known case of COVID-19, that you should go ahead and get tested.
Mm. So what happens this fall when I guess we might need more testing? I don't know. Are companies that make tests or provide tests ready?
They're certainly ramping up. If you shopped at a Walgreens or a CVS or a Walmart and have looked for these direct-to-consumer tests, they're there. But in some cases, we're seeing them hard to find for certain brands. So consumers are having an issue accessing those. But the companies that make these tests are certainly recommitting to production.
Thanks, Ken. Ken Altucker, consumer health reporter at USA Today. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
More than 20 people have been killed as rescue crews search desperately through shattered homes and tangled debris for dozens of people still missing after record-breaking rain sent floodwaters surging through Middle Tennessee. Saturday's flooding took out roads and phone service, leaving families uncertain about whether their loved ones survived. This man and his family were rescued from their flooded home in Waverly.
I was shook. I was in panic the whole time. And then I started realizing there's nothing I can do anyways. It's a flood. I'm just going to have to just set this out and wait until I get rescued.
Tennessee Governor Bill Lee toured the area, calling it a devastating picture of loss and heartache.
Number two.
The slow-rolling system named Henri is taking its time, drenching the Northeast with rain, lingering over a region made swampy by the storm's relentless downpour. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont.
We've had to close down several nursing facilities, move people there, residents there, to more safe, secure places as well.
Over 140,000 homes lost power as downpours closed bridges, swamped roads, and left some people stranded in their vehicles.
Number two.
A firefight at one of the gates of Kabul's international airport killed at least one Afghan soldier early today. The latest chaos to engulf Western efforts to evacuate those fleeing the Taliban take over the country. The shooting near the military site of the airport came as the Taliban sent fighters to the north of the capital to eliminate pockets of armed resistance. The Pfizer vaccine could win full FDA approval as soon as today. Surgeon General Vivek Murthy told ABC he wouldn't be surprised if the FDA soon issues full approval of the Pfizer vaccine, which would mark yet another reason to get a shot.
One is that the vaccines are remarkably effective in keeping people out of the hospital and saving lives. And the other is that their safety profile remains remarkably strong.
No word on when Moderna and J&J might win full approval. Four new films opened in theaters this weekend, and only the one with animated puppies fared well. Paw Patrol the movie earned $13 million, making it by far the best of the new openers. But it wasn't enough to beat out Ryan Reynolds' action comedy Free Guy, which topped the charts with $18.8 million.
All right, thank you, Jen. Apply for a loan with a bank, and you might get free coffee. But Marcus by Goldman Sachs offers personal loans with no fees ever. So consolidate debt with a no-fee personal loan from Marcus by Goldman Sachs or get free coffee. Go to marcus.com to learn more about our no-fee personal loans and other products today. Lending and deposits provided by Goldman Sachs Bank USA, member FDIC. Thanks for being with us. One of the largest U.S. hotel owners is experimenting this year with a new business strategy. Charge guests for most services and amenities, just like in the airline industry. How it'll work from Craig Carman, Real Estate Bureau Chief for the Wall Street Journal. Craig, what's trending?
So you're seeing a few hotel owners around the country trying to find a way to increase their revenue during a really tough time and deciding that one way they can do that is to charge guests for stuff that they're normally giving away for free, such as that buffet breakfast in the morning, use of the pool, use of the fitness center, early checkout, late check-in. And the idea is they are going to post their hotel rooms at reduced rates to lure customers in and then try and make up that difference by charging these a la carte prices for the various fees. They're hoping that some customers will jump on it and say, all right, I can save money this way. And others will jump on it and then end up spending more money this way.
So ultimately, I guess this is a move of desperation or a move of responding to what the market has to say right now. What are we seeing?
I think it's something that a lot of hotel owners have been considering for years, and they've been hesitant to do it for a few reasons. Probably the biggest that the large hotel chains, the Marriotts and the Hiltons of the world, are not too keen on it. They're a little worried that it will turn off guests. But the hotel owners are coming off their worst year in memory in 2020 because of the pandemic. Their travel really picked up the start of this year, particularly leisure travel, but it's been somewhat sidelined again by the Delta variant. They had to invest a lot of money in upgrading their hotel's sanitation and cleaning systems to make guests feel that they're going to be safe staying there. So they figure if airlines can do this and make some money from it, hotels should be able to do it too. And as long as they can convince guests that they're getting a reduced room rate, they think guests will give it a shot.
All right, yeah. So speak to that point then. How will guests be sure that they're getting the reduced room rate? Does it actually say, $89 a night without any amenities? How does that work?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I haven't seen any hotels advertise it that way. You know, here it is with all the amenities and here it is without. Instead, I think they're just going to lower the room rates and figure that as guests search for hotels, and most guests still search by price, just like you search to book an airline, usually by price, at least when you're spending your own money on vacation,
yeah,
that they'll look at this hotel and they'll say, hey, look, this hotel is cheaper than the other ones in the same area or on the same block. I'm going to book with this one. Then the question is, do those guests booking realize that the pool and the gym and other amenities are going to cost them extra?
You made a specific reference in the story to maybe charging $25 for a guest to use the pool on a 95 degree scorching hot day, but there might not be a fee, say if it's 78 and lightly raining, for example.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a degree of flexibility here. I think the idea is you want to, you know, like when Uber was charging more money during high demand use at rush hours.
Thanks, Craig. Craig Carman, real estate bureau chief at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You know, in November, I'll celebrate 16 years of hosting this show. Whenever those kinds of milestones come up, it's special. And Cuts Clothing is having an anniversary of their own this month. It's been 5 years since Cuts founder Steve Borelli decided to create clothing for any and every occasion, like their signature buttery soft Pika Pro Tri-Blend t-shirts and polos, cozy Hyperloop French Terry fabric hoodies, and more. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next level comfort, from their polos to their crew sweatshirts, all classics made modern with custom engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. They've created a comfortable fit without compromising on timeless, universally flattering style. If you haven't worn one yourself, it's time to try the only shirt worth wearing. And this week is the perfect time. This month marks the Cuts' fifth anniversary, and they're doing it big with two collection drops, a product launch, and a week-long special event. Join the celebration and get 15% off site-wide by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off and access to anniversary events all month long.
Taking the day's information and helping you make sense of it all. We're here for you every morning. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, August 23. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Flooding in Middle Tennessee kills at least 22. Flooding and power outages from Storm Henri in the Northeast. Pentagon orders commercial airlines to help with Afghanistan evacuations. A new NBC poll shows President Biden's approval rating falling below 50% for the first time. Democrats remain divided over when to vote on an infrastructure bill and a separate $3.5 trillion spending wish list. The Tigers' Miguel Cabrera hit his 500th home run, and how U.S. airmen helped deliver a baby on a cargo plane. That story in about 20 minutes. A prolonged and worsening drought has created an alarming shortage of water across the parched West. What a stark contrast, right, with pictures from Tennessee and the Northeast from this weekend. The Bureau of Reclamation last week declared the first ever water shortage on the Colorado River, forcing cutbacks to water allocations to western states that'll begin in the next several months. Reed Wilson, national correspondent at The Hill, says this is setting off what is likely to be a years-long crisis that could threaten the future of some of the fastest-growing cities and economies in the country. Reed, how bad are things?
it's actually hard to put this in context, Gordon. I mean, there are rivers and reservoirs out west that are lower than they have ever been. Since the building of the Hoover Dam, you know, between Nevada and Arizona, the water has never gotten this low. It's just 1,067 feet above sea level. And for context, I mean, that's about 100 feet lower than it was a decade ago. It may sound, you know, just like not a big deal. But let's not forget that not only does this water, you know, actually water the crops that we all eat, no matter where we live in the country, and fuel the booming metropolises that are bolstering our economy in places like Phoenix and Los Angeles and Las Vegas. I mean, this also creates power for the American West. I mean, these reservoirs that go through the dams are the hydroelectric power that give, you know, that light up the Las Vegas Strip and keep millions of people in their homes. The Colorado River itself feeds about 40 million people around the country, around the western United States, and this is the lowest it's ever been. And it's not getting better. I mean, the drought that the West is going through now is years long, and there's absolutely no sign that it's going to end anytime soon.
Goodness. Let's anticipate that we can point multiple fingers here. Maybe the drought, obviously the drought, maybe that's from climate change or global warming. But in the meantime, I mean, what are we doing? What are there short-term answers? You mentioned there are some proposals that have been floated. Can you explain a couple of those?
Well, sure. We'll start with the immediate impacts that are happening. The Bureau of Reclamation, which is this small little, usually obscure agency, has declared the first ever water shortage on the Colorado River, which means there are going to be cutbacks. And under what's called the Colorado River Compact, which is an agreement that's about 100 years old that governs the water usage off the river, the states of Arizona and Nevada are going to take the first cuts. If the water levels keep falling in Lake Mead or any of the rest of these reservoirs out west, then we're going to see other states taking cuts. You know, California is close to the line. Then you get to the upper basin states, which are states like Colorado, Wyoming, Utah. So we could see serious water cuts across the American West in the short term. In the long term, well, basically we're going to have to reinvent the way we keep water.
We're speaking with Reed Wilson, national correspondent at The Hill. His piece is called Colorado River Cutbacks Set Stage for Decade of Drought Politics. And when we talk about cuts, that translates into what?
What we're talking about now is basically cutting the allocation that every state can use off the water. So let's assume, hypothetically, there are 100 gallons of water going down the Colorado River. That is from the Rocky Mountains to the Baja Peninsula in Mexico. Every state under the Colorado River Compact gets a certain share of that water. So let's say California can take 20 gallons of the 100. Arizona gets 5. Nevada gets 5. Things like that. Well, once there are cuts, now Arizona gets 4 instead of 5, and Nevada gets 4 instead of 5. And if there are further cuts, then California will only get 18 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, that's the short-term impact. The longer-term impact becomes what happens to the areas that are truly America's breadbasket. And let's think about something simple like lettuce. The lettuce that you buy in a store comes from probably one of two places. It either comes from California Central Valley or from the southern part of Arizona, where they can grow it in two different seasons. And basically, that's how we get our lettuce in any given day. Well, what if the water is only sufficient to cover 80% of the lettuce crop in Arizona and 90% in California? Well, that means your lettuce prices are going up and availability will go down and things like that. So this has wide-ranging ramifications, not just for people out west, and it is going to be those agricultural crops who take the first cuts. It's not just going to be the people out west. It's going to be, you know, you, Gordon, sitting in New Jersey and me sitting in D.C., who are going to end up paying more for our crops.
Thanks, Reed. Reed Wilson, national correspondent at The Hill. Coming up next, two food-related stories that'll make you shake your head. It's true. Half of our faces have been hidden for a while. And now that we can really be outside again, it's time to pay attention to that lower half again, the part that Harry specializes in. Get your smooth, clean-shaven look back again with Harry's. Redeem a Harry's trial set when you visit harrys.com/deal. I'm constantly amazed at how close my shave is every day. With the ergonomic handle, Harry's blades glide and leave my skin incredibly smooth. All for as low as $2 a blade. Still, even now that they're sharper and last longer than ever. Harry's is giving their best offer to our listeners. New Harry's customers can redeem a starter set for just $3 at harrys.com/deal. You get a 5-blade razor, a weighted handle, foaming shave gel with aloe, and a travel cover to protect your blades when you're on the go. That's a $13 value for just $3. There's truly never been a better time to try Harry's. Go to harrys.com/deal to try Harry's today.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Monday. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we suspect that plenty of you will be rolling through the drive-thru looking to get your hands on an iced coffee to help you get through a Monday back at work. But beware this warning from one barista. A 19-year-old named Jason, who claims to work at Dunkin' Donuts, went viral for his video showing just how little liquid you get when you don't ask for less ice in your iced coffee. Jason took a large Dunkin' iced coffee filled with ice, then transferred the liquid to an empty cup, just barely filling it halfway. He then goes on to recommend that customers order light ice with their drinks, which could become a trend since more than 12 million people have watched his videos in just 4 days.
Is this, people are actually just discovering this now?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking that myself.
What's going on here, Mike?
This isn't news. Again, see, I always feel like on TikTok, you're dealing with a younger audience, right?
Yeah.
So these are like kids, a lot of them, and they're just finding out these things for the first time that you and I have known for like 20-30
right.
years, right?
So the kids are discovering that space is displaced
right.
when ice goes into a cup. There's yeah. less space in a cup for liquid when there's ice in there.
I mean,
this is mind a thing,
this is mind-blowing
yeah.
stuff. Gets you 12 million views,
right.
and you know, who knows, probably his own TV show
yeah,
or something.
These are our future leaders who are just discovering this.
But good advice, for sure. And there have been many attempts to create a pizza for people who want to rein in their carbs, but if you believe one big pizza chain, this viral attempt has fallen flat. Fox News says Domino's in Australia decided to jump on a viral TikTok creation, Watermelon Pizza, and they don't seem too impressed. The chain put out a video in response to the one TikToker Oliver Patterson put out in June, which racked up nearly 3.5 million views, showing him putting cheese, barbecue sauce, and chorizo on a flat, round slice of melon that he first grills in a pan on the stove, then he bakes the whole thing in the oven and calls it pizza. Domino's decided to replicate the recipe, though they did sub out the tomato sauce or sub out the barbecue for tomato sauce. And while the chain admitted that the watermelon pizza did look pretty good coming out of the oven, they also said it might be, quote, an acquired taste.
I see. It was horrible, in other words. That's what that means. It was horrible.
I did look good, I have to say that, but that's because the cheese kind of covers up the watermelon. So it doesn't even, you don't,
yeah.
can't even tell that there's watermelon underneath, and then you bite into it, you bite into that warm watermelon with the cheese and the pepperoni or whatever. I don't know.
You're right. That is weird, because normally we consider watermelon a summery fruit. It's
yes.
refreshing. And now it's almost like fondue-ish, right? Because you've got cheese
right.
on some fruit.
That's true.
It's weird.
Yeah, I mean, people do grill watermelon. I've never done it, but I've heard that's a thing that people do in the summer even though they get bored.
I've never done it either. I'd be willing to try this so-called pizza. To be clear, yeah. I would try it.
Once again, I'm not buying it.
Not buying
You're
it.
Not buying it either.
That's right.
But somebody will buy it for
you
us,
and I
will try a slice.
You and I attend somebody's backyard grill out.
Yes.
We'll be sampling.
There you
it.
Go.
Right. Thank you, Mike.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. Call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL and do more with modern devices and Windows 10 Pro.
Thanks for being with us. With both new and used vehicle prices hitting all-time highs, trading in your current ride may be a daunting task. Sure, you'll get more, but you also may pay more. The alternative is to hang on to what you have. To that end, KBB.com put together a list of suggestions to help keep your vehicle operating reliably for the long haul. Doing so will also increase its value. Number one,
get the car detailed. Car detailing is the process where your vehicle is restored to a like-new showroom condition on the inside and outside. Might cost you anywhere from $50 to $300. Number two, fix those dents and either clean or replace those cloudy headlight lenses. Number three, oil changes and tune-ups, definitely necessary for the long life of your vehicle. Number four, alignments, which allow you to steer straightly. To get the front wheels done, figure $65 to $125. Number five, new tires. Check the owner's manual for the proper size, and don't forget to have them rotated. Number six, a brake job or inspection. We'll have more tips next hour. 8 minutes in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Rescue crews are searching for dozens of people still missing after record-breaking rain sent floodwaters surging through Middle Tennessee. More than 20 people were killed and some 50 were still missing as of yesterday afternoon, and authorities fear the death toll could rise. Buddy Frazier is mayor of Waverly.
What I've gleaned from most people is how quick this event happened. You know, it was something like the quickness of a tornado, I guess, and some of them described it as a tidal wave.
Number two.
Tropical storm Henri blasted much of the Northeast with high winds and record-smashing rainfall after making landfall in Rhode Island yesterday. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont.
A little less wind. You know that we've gone from a hurricane to tropical storm, but don't get complacent.
Flooding is expected through today in parts of Long Island and New England.
Number three.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin has ordered the emergency use of 18 U.S. commercial aircraft to transport Afghan evacuees after they've flown out of Kabul. President Biden says the U.S. will continue to evacuate Americans and Afghan people with special immigrant visas until the job is done.
There are discussions going on among us and the military about extending. Our hope is we will not have to extend, but there are going to be discussions, I suspect, on how far along we are in the process.
17,000 people have been taken out of Afghanistan in the past week. The White House today announced a series of new agreements with Singapore aimed at combating cyber threats, tackling climate change, addressing the pandemic, and alleviating supply chain issues. The announcement coincided with Vice President Kamala Harris's visit to the region as part of the Biden administration's efforts to counter Chinese influence there. You know that drinking and driving is dangerous. How about drinking and trading? According to a survey from consumer finance website Magnify Money, 32% of U.S. investors say they have made trades while drunk. Gen Z members fell into the trap the most of any generation, with 59% confessing to drunk trading. Magnify Money says it appears that the effortless ability to trade stocks these days, such as entering orders on mobile devices, is contributing to more people trading while doing other tasks. And the gamification interface of trading apps like Robinhood could also be a factor.
What? Drunk trading
mm-hmm.
by Gen Z, right? Which most surveys show this is the group of adults that know the least amount about trading.
Well,
right? Oh my goodness. Next, U.S. Airmen to the rescue.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Glad you're with us. As if evacuations in Afghanistan aren't dangerous or stressful enough, how about if you're due to give birth any day? U.S. Airmen helped a pregnant Afghan mother deliver her baby in the cargo bay of a U.S. Air Force C-17 during an evacuation flight from the Middle East on Saturday. The flight had already taken off from an intermediate staging base in the Middle East when the mother went into labor. U.S. Air Force Air Mobility Command said the aircraft commander made the quick decision to lower the C-17's altitude to increase air pressure in the aircraft. The move helped stabilize the mother and save her and the baby's life. They landed at Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. Then the medics came aboard and helped deliver the baby. The mother, who was on the flight with her family, said the baby girl and her are now in good condition. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do.
Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.